Sports Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on ESPN 850 WKNR. Instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit, me get up. First shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, y'all can't copy yet. Bad.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news and photos and videos and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Vic Carucci, Jim Donovan on a football Thursday. The Browns releasing their preseason schedule, Jim, yesterday.
Yes.
So we know one, the highlight, of course, is the fact that in their third game, they get to play a Monday night football game at Washington. So excited about that. I think it's a cool thing that the Browns get a little, I know it's preseason, but it's a little national love on ESPN.
Yeah, I think that's great. The last time, Vic, was a dismal night when they played on national TV in the preseason. They played the Giants in 2008, and they got wiped out physically in that game and had nobody ready then to play in the opening game against the Cowboys. Anderson got hurt. Jamal Lewis got hurt. Josh Cribbs got hurt. Everybody got hurt that day. Winslow got hurt. Pretty significant. That's great. I think it will be exciting. It's always fun to be under the lights of national TV. What will be interesting now, as we are 4 weeks away to the day of the NFL draft, is who will be the outstanding, exciting rookies that will be on the field for the Browns that will be showcased in that game. Because I think that's why they look at a team like the Browns. I'm sure on the other side they look at our RG3 and what's going to happen there. But on the Browns side they say, boy, they're probably going to make a lot of noise in the draft.
Yeah. And by the way, that's the second, I said third, it's the second preseason game for the Browns, August 18th at Washington. Their final two preseason games will be at home. All right. On the line with us right now, we'll get more into that schedule a little bit later, but on the line with us, as promised, a great friend and one of the most respected voices in the National Football League. You can hear him on SiriusXM NFL Radio. You can read his analysis on CBSSports.com and see videos that he does there. He is a former personnel man in this league. He is Pat Kerwin. Pat, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Great
times in Cleveland as you get pretty filled.
Always,
always interesting. It's never dull, Patrick. And so, Pat, put us in the seat of the general manager, of the decision maker on this, because you've sat in that seat. So you've got this Alex Mack situation, and I know the details aren't all completed. So maybe the Browns are still kind of going to be blind to what they'd be looking at until they get it. But your sense of how this process would play itself out with Jacksonville and Mack and the Browns?
Well, I think that you should match it, and I think you will match it. And there'll be some nuances apparently in the deal with voidables that the guy could be free a year from now. But, the league was really kind of, put a thumb down on top of those poison pills. And I think this is pushing the poison pill just a little too much. Mm-hmm. And I'll be intrigued to see if the league is taking a look at this proposal before it gets put in front of you. So, I'd match it. And B, I've talked to a lot of Cleveland Brown fans via my show, and they all want Mack back, and they would recognize you not having him back as a more than a disappointment. So I think he'll be back. I'm glad someone finally used the transition take. A lot of people are criticizing you guys for using it, but here's why I think it was a great idea. If you put the franchise tag on him, no one was going to make an offer. Mm-hmm. So you were stuck with a guy in a franchise tag for a year, and a year from now he definitely would be gone. And so this way, that contract still could be to your favor, and you could have him locked up for multiple years. So I think this is what all you're really doing, and I thought it was quite clever, was you got Jacksonville to negotiate with Mack for you.
Yes.
And whenever I use the transition tag, it was because negotiations were going to be brutal or impossible, and I let someone else do it. And I think that's a good idea. I think doing it that way is a good thing, and I think more teams should have done those kind of things. I am not critical one bit of you guys trying to lock the guy up via the transition tag.
So, Pat, let's say they get him and they match it like you have recommended and a lot of other people have called in today hoping that they do it. But let's go with what they've done in free agency. They've been very active. And what do you think they've done with the Dansby and the Whitner? And now they've brought Burleson in. They get Ben Tate. They've gotten McQuiston. How do you think that they have fared and what they have done in free agency leading up to the draft?
Well, I have no problems with it. I think it's been fairly aggressive, and I think it's also been fairly intelligent. You know, I look at it and say, okay, what do you still need to do? Well, you still need to get a quarterback somewhere that's going to be developed by your coaching staff. And Brian Hoyer can hold down the fort, but I don't see Brian as more than that. And I think too many people got overly excited on a few nice games that he played. He has enough history to know that he hasn't done that before. So a quarterback still has to be in the making. And I don't think I'd rely on Ben Tate and that other band of gypsies behind Deion Lewis, et cetera. I'd be drafting a running back as well. Those are two things. I think you've positioned yourself to get Greg Little into a backup role. Nate Burleson can handle that for a short term if you want to do it that way, and I do think that maybe you'll take a good look at a receiver as well. So you show me a receiver in this draft, you show me a quarterback that's got a chance, and I'll talk about those quarterbacks. I just had about a three-hour session with Phil Sims as we both finished up watching all the quarterbacks. I'll give you his take on things, and get me a running back, and then I'm thinking you're doing pretty well. Mm. And I like where your offense could turn around and start doing things. On defense, I'll take Whitner over the guy that you let go. I think that you won the safety decision there, in my mind. I still would like to see you grab a corner high in this draft. And Carlos Dansby, to me, you guys know better than me. It was a swap out, both old, the guy you let go and this guy, both old. So short-term answers, do they play the length of their contract? That remains to be seen. Probably not.
Hmm. Pat Kerwin from SiriusXM NFL Radio and CBSSports.com joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. All right, you piqued my interest.
Yeah.
You sat down with Phil Sims. You talk quarterbacks with us, Pat.
Yeah, well, you know, Phil's great to do this. He does it with me every year, 10 straight years, and we have another session coming up next week now that we've thrown barbs at each other, and he's been more than cordial. He'll calm down a little bit, but I'll give you his take on these guys and a quick sketch, and then you come back at me anywhere you want for a deeper explanation. Sure. I told him Bortles, here are the two reports I got from NFL evaluators of the quarterback position. Bortles is like Ben Roethlisberger. Borders is like Gabbert. That's a pretty wide range. Here's Phil's take. He's like neither one of them. He's better than Gabbert, and he'll never be the thrower Ben Roethlisberger is. And his biggest point on Bortles is he really works to throw the ball. It's not clean and natural like it is for Eli Manning or for Ben Roethlisberger. He thinks that he has to put too much effort into it, and he wished he stayed in school a year because that offense down in Central Florida, although George O'Leary and I did talk about it, there's a lot of decisions made at the line of scrimmage. He thinks it's going to take him a while to be ready. He does like the physical condition he's in. He thinks he can run around, break some tackles. That's probably where the Ben Roethlisberger thing comes. But Phil wouldn't give it to him when it came to the natural throwing that Big Ben has. That's the take on that guy. Next one, Johnny Manziel. I'll start with his quote. When I mentioned Manziel, the first thing Phil said, get ready because the circus is coming to town, and you better be ready to coach what that guy is because he's not going to be anything else than that. And I asked him, do you think he should have stayed in school? He only played 26 games, and he said, no. And the reason is I don't think he's going to get any different or become any better. He is what he is, and he didn't think that the speed with which he plays at in college football was sustainable in the NFL. He said, every quarterback I've ever known, including myself, has gotten slower, and no defense ever gets slower. He thinks the Manziel style is not going to hold up in the NFL. That'd be where he's coming from on Johnny Manziel. Moving on to the rest of these guys, and you know, so two fairly critical evaluations already. Teddy Bridgewater, he was all over. He said, let me tell you something about pro days. Pro days should be spectacular. They should be nothing less than great. And if they are, that is a red flag. And he said, here's what I think a pro day is. A pro day is no different than watching Tiger Woods on a driving range. It should look great every time. And if it doesn't, there's something wrong. And he said that glove is a real issue and that guy has some mechanical issues with his throwing motion. He drops his elbow. You know, the throw comes out poorly, and he needs the glove to save the ball and make rotation on the ball. Not a big fan of Bridgewater. Didn't think he was really a first-round talent. Derek Carr, when I brought him up, he said, I don't know why you're bringing him up. I don't think he belongs in the first round. Thought he was physically tight up top. Remember how Neil O'Donnell was? Yep. Pretty good player, but you know, maybe a little muscle bound. and thought the mechanics were going to be an issue for him down the road. The reason Phil says this is because Phil knows, as a quarterback, and we'll start with camp, you might throw the ball 500 times a day,
right,
warm-ups, practice. And if you have little flaws in your mechanics, and all these guys, in Phil's opinion, and mine too, do, it's going to surface. You're not going to be able to sustain practice. And he also thought Bridgewater and Manziel faded down the stretch last year, and where the velocity came off the ball. And, of course, Jimmy Miller said, what about the bowl game? And Phil started laughing, saying he had a month to rest up his arm. You never get a month in the NFL. He thought that the arm strength would weaken for both of those guys.
Did he like anybody, Pat?
You know, I kind of wanted you to ask me that question. I made him answer about these guys as it pertains to being a top 15 pick. I said, let's have that discussion with that framework. Not, can he play in the league? Can you take him in the third round? Are these top 15 picks? And he said no. Zach Mettenberger, the guy who's getting all the action right now. Why? Because the guys up top, maybe you guys included, a little nervous about the group, the scrutiny on your part. And by the way, we were both praising the Cleveland method of evaluating the quarterbacks. Don't waste your time at the pro days. Go work them out yourselves and do it the right way. Phil talked about his personal workouts. He told me he had 20 workouts with teams, and he never threw more than 125 balls in any workout. And he did one 5 straight days once. And so he said, I know that that's the best way to figure these guys out. Cleveland's got the right idea. Mettenberger, here's what he said. Concerned about his foot speed. Didn't think, and I'm not talking about post-injury, I'm talking about on tape. Didn't think that he set up fast enough. Could be a problem in the NFL. Can he set himself to throw and get rid of the ball? Kind of heavy-legged to him. And he said he has a loose arm. Reminded him of Chad Henne. And the loose elbow, loose arm thing is this. 4 great throws and then one that goes sailing out of bounds. You scratch your head and you go, where'd that come from? Phil says it's a mechanical thing. It could be fixed, but it hasn't been fixed yet. And so that's a concern to him. So after all of that, I said, how do you like my guy, Aaron Murray? And he said, I knew you'd like Aaron Murray. I said, I'll tell you why I like Aaron Murray. I interviewed every defensive back I could from the Southeast Conference at the Senior Bowl or at the Combine and asked them all the same question. Which quarterback did you face that gave you the most trouble with the subtleties of the game that aren't measured in statistics, eyes that move safeties, et cetera? Every one of them said Aaron Murray. And every one of them said he throws the best inside seam route of all the guys they faced. And a lot of them could have answered with their own quarterback and did not. So he's one of my favorites. He's not one of Phil's. Phil thinks he's a career backup. I asked him, take a chance, Phil, because he does this to me every year. Take a chance on a guy no one's talking about. Who's that guy that Phil Sims thinks you take him in the 5th or 6th round, you might hit the diamond in the rough? Tom Savage, Pittsburgh. He thinks that guy can throw off his back foot, can throw off balance, can throw a ball across the field and flick his wrist. He thinks, keep your eye on him. So there's a quick rundown of me and Phil talking quarterbacks 2 days ago.
Yeah, I like that one. I do. I was hoping he was going to say that, and you were going to bring that name up because I think he could be very, very special in more ways than one. Pat, we could talk with you for a long, long time. For the record, I just very quickly on this part to wrap it up, because you've got your mock draft posted on CBSSports.com, but this one was dated the 4th, so if it's out of date, tell me. Is this still a valid one?
I have to post. I'll be writing it tonight, and I'm not sure where I'm headed with you guys, but Jimmy Miller and I are doing it, back and forth on radio, which always changes the dynamic. You have someone else in the middle of it, and he might take your pick away from you. On the last one, which you did the other day, Clowney to Houston, a trade up, Oakland came up and got Bortles, Jacksonville took Robinson, you guys got Sammy Watkins.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to last that way, but that's how it came out the other
day. That's all right. For the record, I just wanted it out there. Pat, thank you so much,
Pat.
My friend. We'll talk.
Take care, guys. Have a great day.
All right. He is Pat Kerwin, the one and only from SiriusXM NFL Radio. His show actually will be starting there in a little bit.
I would say that was thorough.
Very thorough. And you check out his stuff on CBSSports.com. Oh, my God. The best conversation. I mean, you just sit. We have no idle chatter. Pat gets in there, and you get right down to football, no matter the time of year.
Yep.
And it's film analysis and video, and then back and forth with texts and such. And check out this guy. Check this out. So I've heard some of this already, but I'm so glad our audience got to share it. That is a knowledgeable guy. He will be coming through, I believe, Berea, in August on the way to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Do their training camp tour. Yeah.
Yep, Jim Miller, Pat Kerwin will definitely, hopefully be broadcasting from Berea as part of their training camp tour. All right, we've got much more coming up for you. We want to still hear from you if possible, 216-578-0850 if you want to join us. But we're going to be wrapping this edition, this Thursday football edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Break my plans, baby, that's all.